I am ready to be me. This is Dr. Herbert O. Byerly with Dr. Today. I am ready to be me. When I was a child, I liked to follow my mother around and do the things she did and be interested in the things she was. And so I'd read her metaphysical books, and I'd hear her metaphysical lectures, and I'd go into her metaphysical churches and become involved in the many things she was involved in. And I thought, that's interesting, but I really wanted to become a writer. I really wanted to write for the little local newspaper we had. I never had the courage to do it, but I was in the writing class and the other things, and I wrote one thing for the local newspaper, and they didn't take it, and so I thought I was no good, you know. And so, then finally, somebody told me that I was a lousy writer, and that was when I was in college. And I said, huh, and they said, you can never go into journalism because you're no good. And I said to myself, oh, is that what you think? Not me. I'm going into journalism. And I didn't think I'm going into journalism. Something inside of me said I'm going into journalism, but it didn't tell me. It just led me there. But on the outside, I wasn't thinking of going into journalism at all. I was thinking of going into philosophy and religion, going to Unity School of Christianity, going to Chicago Theological Seminary and stuff like that. I wasn't thinking of journalism. And then, at Marquette University, my journalism professor, because I had gone out, I wrote a good story. I wrote a good story. And it was about Secretary of State when he came to visit in Milwaukee. And I wrote a story, and I wrote a story not about his policy as Secretary of State, but how he and his family were enjoying being the Secretary of State and traveling around the world and doing things, you know. And it was a very nice story, a different story than anyone else had done. And I brought it back, and my instructor said, you're no good as a journalist. You can never be a journalist. You know, if you promise me you'll never go into journalism, I'll pass you in this course, you know. And so I said, I have no intention of going into journalism, you know. I just was doing it as part of whatever I'm doing, you know. And so I had no intention of it. But I took courses in journalism more, and I took courses in radio workshop and in television workshop and all that sort of stuff in the early days, and it was very fascinating. Then I found out that all the religion and all the philosophy I was studying didn't make any sense. It did not add up to 2 times 2 is 4 for me. And I was very very unstable in my choice. And so I thought, oh, what the heck? Why not try journalism? But you told the instructor you wouldn't. Yeah, it's okay. Promises are made to be broken. So, yes. So I applied for a job as an editor of local newspapers. Yeah, I wasn't even, you know, what? And so I put out about 8 or 10 different feelers, and one came back from the local newspaper in West Dallas, Wisconsin, where my wife was born, raised. And so I got a job there. They asked me to come. They wanted me to come in about 2 or 3 months, you know, when they had a chance to get the other man out and I would come in. That's okay. So I went to my neighbor, who was the head of the journalism school at Northwestern University, Mr. Sullivan, and I said, I got this job in the West Dallas Star as the editor, and I started in a month. What book should I read in preparation? Well, I hope you prepared more than just this. But he gave me the names of 4 books. Well, I read those 4 books from cover to cover a couple times. Big, sticky books, you know. All about journalism. So I went on my job, and when I got there, he let me write obituaries. He let me write wedding announcements, you know. He let me write engagement announcements, you know, all the little nothings. And I was proud to do it because I didn't realize that that was the bottom of the barrel, you know. I didn't know enough about journalism to compare. So I did everything he told me exactly like he told me. and I did the camera work like he told me, using it just like he told me, and everything turned out good. And then I took some pictures of his wife at a big social function with her prominent in front, and it turned out so beautiful in the front page of the paper. Mm-hmm. And I mean, from that moment on, I was, you know, his right-hand boy. And then after being there for maybe about 6 months or so, he and his wife and kids were going to go to Florida on a vacation, or a two-week vacation, and leave me in charge of the publication, which came out every week. And so I thought, wow, you know, great. And he knew I was good. So I went to the different publications that I had read about, and I saw how they did it. And I thought, well, whatever they did and were winning awards for, we can copy that. We don't copy their content, but we copy their style. So I copied the style, adding to it my own, and entered those issues at the contest that they had for publications in Wisconsin and in the United States. And I won. I won. The publication layouts, the page layouts and stuff won, and a couple of my stories even won, you know. And I was just really amazed and delighted. Well, I had to go to Marquette University because the journalism professor was one of them that handed out the awards. And he handed out the award to me. And he didn't remember me, or maybe he did, but he gave me the award. And I thought to myself, I did it. No, I did it. It's wonderful. Well, that went on fine. But I couldn't keep my fingers out of religion, out of philosophy. And so I had to keep going back and speaking in churches and teaching lessons on truth and lessons on philosophy and lessons on stuff. And I was good in both journalism and that. And I had newspapers and I had churches and I had churches and I had newspapers. And, you know, they were just going there. Now, you see, I was not compelled, but I was sort of, this is my thing. This is where I wanted to go. My calling, you might say. I had two callings, maybe more. And so then I went to a number of different churches and I learned a great deal. And I came to the point where nothing made sense to me. You know, I had to do it myself. I had to do my own philosophy, my own way of thinking. So I wrote my own books and started the University of Healing. And since then, I've just been totally content and happy. I should have done it in the very beginning, but I perhaps wanted to have those experiences to strengthen me and my own convictions. Every one of us in our life have a conviction within us. We have a desire within us to do something. We want to be a monk, or we want to be a teacher, we want to be a philosopher, we want to be a businessman. I was thinking this morning as I was walking the meditation path, how many people come to us and they want us to support them while they're walking their path, support them while they're finding their spiritual self or the divine self or so forth. And I think to myself, how interesting. I have suggestions for them, but how interesting. If I want to become a businessman and take courses in business in college, I have to pay my way. I have to, and it depends now. I can go to a simple college which teaches the fundamentals, and the cost will be, say, X number of dollars. And I go to the better college, and it's XX or XXX numbers of dollars. And then I go to the top business professional schools in the country, in the world, and it is many, many X times dollars. And you pay for the better the college, the better the reputation of the college, and coming out of that college, you walk into business jobs because they know that you have been educated. If you came through that course, you have been proven that you really know what you're doing. Well, now, people try to come and take our courses and tell us that we should pay their way and we should do this for them. And then we should help them start their churches or start their organizations and things like that. And we're not their mommy and daddy. And even their mommy and daddy wouldn't do that. I was also reading that in Denmark, and I think Norway also, Denmark definitely, in Denmark, a school is free, totally. And you go through you're expected to go through 9 levels of school. And then you can go on through more levels, and it's free. And you can take any courses you want and do any programs you want. And I thought to myself, you know, if a person really is struggling and they want to get into a good school, and Denmark schools might be good, go live in Denmark for a couple of years, and then you'll be qualify to be a student there, you know. You qualify to take their courses and take their education. But the only thing is, and this perhaps would be more difficult than anything else, you'd have to learn to speak Danish. If you speak French or English or Italian or whatever, you got to learn to speak Danish. Well, now that's a good thing too, because it sparkles the mind. It gets you going in very beautiful ways. Well, now, so many people think that the business school, you know, the school that teaches business is interested in developing businesses. What is the school that teaches businesses interested in developing? Good businessmen. Students who become good businessmen. They don't know what business they're going to be in. They could be in diapers, or they could be in washing machines, or who knows what, you know. Now, so the school's not going to support you in any little business that you want to come along with and want to go into. And did she have her medicine? Okay, I'll give her another one. So I'll give her one of these cough drops. Those are great. So, but that's a shush. And because you don't cough in my talk. My goodness, how are you going to be a successful businessman if you cough in my talk? You go into your new employer's office and you say, I'd like to have a job and I'd like to work for you, and I'd like to do on your public relations. And the businessman would say to you, my dear, we don't have a coughing business here. And we don't have businesses in which we are teaching how to cough or teaching people how not to cough. We are having a business and teach people how to be successful in their business, you know. And so that's what you do. That's what you do. Now, we have people who come to the university and think that we're interested in developing universities all over the world. Well, that would be nice, but we're not interested in that. What is the purpose of any student coming to the University of Healing? If you don't want to speak it out loud...
Being himself.
Thank you. Being himself what?
And having fun.
What do you think the reason is a person comes to the University of Healing?
To find himself.
What? Huh?
To find himself.
What do you think a person comes to the University of Healing
to
for?
To be themselves and having fun.
A person comes to the University of Healing to train themselves in the art of being aware of who they are. To train themselves in the art. We don't care what you do with what you have trained. If you have trained yourself to sit up and beg, then that's your art, you know. If you have trained yourself to lift your leg, that's your art, you know. If you have trained yourself to be a courteous person, that's your art. If you have trained yourself to be a wizard, that's your art, you know. But the thing is, we don't care what you do with it. We don't care what you do with it. We train you how to keep your attention on what you want to be doing. What is it that you are
aiming for?
Called to do. What is your calling? You know, sounds a little bit ancient, antique, and so forth, and it is. But what is your calling?
Follow your bliss.
Ingeborg, your calling is to follow your spiritual path and find out who you are, you know?
Yes.
And you still haven't found it, but you're working on it. Okay, now Ingeborg, what's going to happen when you find who you are? What's going to happen when you have walked your spiritual path and you find who you are? What are you going to do? Are you going to go out and start a new school or teach people how to do that? What are you going to do?
live it.
I'm going to live it and be it.
Yes.
I'm going to live it and be it. Now, do we care whether you do anything else? Is that what would make us the happiest people in the world? We had succeeded in educating you how to be yourself and have fun, how to live what you believe. Nice? Yeah. Well, you see, this is what it's all about. So when people come to us and want us to help them start their churches and their organizations and their schools and their colleges and various other things, what do we say to them? We say, we are helping you as we train you to be all that you can be. When you have found yourself and you are all that you can be, then what happens to you? Then you stop going out and being a jerk. You stop going out and trying to help the world's problems by being a problem yourself. You stop going out and telling people that they're good or bad. You do one thing. You do one thing. You see with the eyes of purity and goodness. You see it already
done.
Complete, finished, done. There is nothing more to do it. Now, if you ever see things needing to be done, we haven't taught you very well. If you ever see that there is a war in the world, we haven't taught you very well. Ingeborg, what do we teach you to say about war? There now is what?
There now is peace on earth, and it began with me.
Yes! You see? It took a little bit of pulling, but we got it out. There now is peace on earth, and it began with me. Okay, you go to someone who has cancer. There now is cancer on earth, and it began with me. Is that what the person wants?
Yeah.
No.
What does the person want?
Wholeness on
now
earth.
There is peace on earth, and it began with me.
We're talking about the cancer.
There's wholeness.
What did we?
Now there is wholeness on earth.
Let's not be so blatant. You are whole and perfect. You see, when we talk about peace on earth, we're talking about peace on earth. We're talking about cancer or an illness or a specific thing. We're saying a specific thing. Ellen, you are?
Whole and perfect.
My God, how wonderful.
Right.
When did that happen?
Always. I'm born like that.
Yesterday, I remember you were doing something.
I'm whole and perfect.
Ellen. Yesterday, I remember you doing something. And you say, Herb?
I'm living in.
Herb, I want to tell you, I don't know what I might have been in a previous time in my life, but now I live only in the now. I live only in the present tense. I only live in the here and the now. And I am perfect right now. My body is the temple of the living spirit, and it's whole and perfect. Well, don't you have cancer anymore? I am whole and perfect. Do not even acknowledge the limitation that might be shown to you. Don't even acknowledge the fact that this is there. You know? Only acknowledge the truth. And what is the truth?
I'm whole and perfect.
It is done. I'm whole and perfect. Everything is in divine order. Now, you are a thoughtless, inconsiderate, miserable son of a gun because you don't recognize that I got a problem and you're not helping me. And you say, in my heart, you don't have a problem. In my heart, you're whole and perfect. In my heart, I see you fantastic. Well, you're not very sensitive. You're not very caring. Oh, I'm very caring. Do you want me to see you unhappy? No. Then why are you requiring that I see you unhappy? I see you happy. I see you whole. Why are you requiring me to go around seeing you with the limitations that you don't want yourself? That's not very nice of you. That's not very nice of you to expect me to see you like you don't even want to see yourself. Now, is that right? When Queen Elizabeth says to her kids, now, I don't want you running around with the commoners, and the kids say, Mom, why not? They're fun. Look at all the good stuff they're doing. And Mom says, kids, you are the role model for the ideal being for all the world. That's what a prince and princess is. And when you want to resign as prince and princess at any day, it's your freedom. You know, you're free to do that. You can resign. You can abdicate your role. You can abdicate your throne if you wish. But if you're going to keep the name prince and princess, that's what goes with it. That's what goes with it. Not that you don't not associate with the commoners, but that you are such a role that whenever a commoner comes in your presence, that commoner is a prince or princess. That commoner, that person who may have cancer, when they come in your presence, they are whole and perfect because you are so pure, you are so beautiful, you are so uplifting, you are so dynamic, you are so right. Do you understand? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, and you don't believe it because you allow yourself to think not nice thoughts sometimes. So just let's live these things and believe these things. And remember, when people come to us and they want us to help support their projects, we say, go and have fun. But aren't you going to help me? Oh, I'll help you. Oh, you want me to see it done, or you want me to see it in the progress of being done? You want me to see you a failure? You want me to see you a success? What do you want me to see you? Well, a success, of course. Well, then, what more do I need to do to help you be a success than to see you be a success? Go and be a success always, you know? Go and enjoy being a success. And then no being can come to you and say to you, I got a problem. They can only say to you, I have a solution that I'd like you to work with me on, you know? And you say, oh, I love doing that. What's your solution? Well, my solution is that I am independently wealthy. Oh, that's a good one. I like that one. That's a fun one. Independently wealthy. You know what you can do when you're independently wealthy? When you're independently wealthy, you can have every car you want. You can have every house you want. You can have all the people you want. You can have all the, go to any restaurant you want. You know, get, you know, roll out real fast on the excitement of what that means. Now, do you know what it means when you're whole and perfect? You're back on the tennis court. You know? You're back swimming again. You're climbing mountains. You're walking. Your knees don't hurt. You don't even know you have knees. You don't even know you have legs. You just walk, right? When you don't know you have a body, you're in perfect health, and that's really nice. So just don't know you have a body, and that's good.
Live in spirit.
Well, that's what you do anyhow. But you see, live in the now. And you can never help another by recognizing his problem. You can only be a blessing to another and yourself by seeing all
in divine order
done now in divine order. So that's it. So if anyone comes to you with their begging bowl, say, well, thank you, and take the bowl. They hold it out to you. If anyone comes up to you and, you know, like they have a little seed money in their hand, and they say, now everyone's giving at least $20 or $50 or something like that. You say, oh, really? Show me. Well, see here? Well, thank you very much. And then you take the money. That's my money. That's it. No, that's not your, that's money people gave you to use to be happy. And I'm helping you be happy. But you can't do that. Well, what do you want me to do? You want me to see you needing money? Or see me needing money? Or what do you want? Well, I don't know what I want, you know. Well, when you find out what you want, you can have your money back. Would you have the guts to do that? No, you wouldn't.
Mm-mm. No.
Because you think that's stealing.
Mm-hmm.
But they gave it to you. They said, that's what people give us. Well, thank you. You're giving it to me. They give you the begging bowl and they want you to fill it. And so you take it and you got another bowl, you know.
They would quickly learn.
They would quickly learn not to come to this house, because this house is abundance. Okay. Now, remember, we have one role here on campus at the University of Healing, University of Philosophy, after the Monastery, Worldwide Healing Ministry, and the School of the Master, and all of the things that we have here, we have one purpose, and that is
being ourselves.
Be myself and have fun.
When?
Now.
Okay. And so it is.
So it is.
I love you.
Love you.
I love you.
Love you.
I love you.